world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Nobody trumps Jesus. Nobody trumps Jesus. That's my shirt. My wife got that for me what was that, Christmas? Wasn't that something that happened just a week or so, 10 days ago, a Christmas thing? Nobody trumps Jesus. Man, thanks for joining us here. It's cold. It's 6 below. I saw yesterday like 85% of America is below freezing. Never happened. Don't mention weather manipulation or anything like that, because it certainly couldn't be anything like that. Got this big storm coming. It's going to hit over there with Sarge. Larry, all you guys over on the East Coast are going to get slam bammed with what they're calling basically like a typhoon. And then that's going to lead into some more cold weather. Wow. What a time to be alive, man. What a time. I'm going to talk today. We hurried through it yesterday. I want to go back a little bit to that full armor. So bear with me. I thought we had a powerful, powerful time together yesterday. And like I said, I ruminate afterwards. And some of the things that you guys bring to the table, and I read the comments. I don't get a chance to comment on all the comments. I'm talking about in the chat room here. By the way, I check out the web, check out every day after the show to see the comments on the YouTube. So I read all those. I read all those. So if you got a comment to make, you make that, because we're open to good godly advice. And the battle's over truth. It's over truth. Jesus, Pilate said, what is truth? Truth was standing right in front of him. What? Jesus said, all those who hear my voice hear the truth. And Pilate said, what is the truth? The battle has never changed, man. It's never changed. And we are living in an age of universal deception in so many ways. Now, I'm just going to say this. Okay, folks, let's not complicate things. You watching me right now, some of you born again, some of you think you're born again, some of you religious thinking you're born again, some of you have powerful testimonies, some of you don't have testimonies, and what we have got to understand is if you are embedded with the truth, then you have if you've received the spirit of truth, then you have a great desire for truth. And the truth is, sitting down, a lot of what you believe isn't true. A lot of what you've been taught is not true. Now, I'm not coming along as some Mahesh Yogi and saying I'm the first guy to discover all this. I'm not saying all that. But all wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior. I don't care what it is. The bank robber never thought he'd get caught. Wrong thinking. The guy who goes out on his wife never dreamed she would find out. The guy who starts looking up porn never thought he would get hooked on it. All wrong behavior begins with some form of wrong thinking. That's why it is so important, as we kind of dived into yesterday, and I'm struggling to go where I want to go, because, well, I'll just tell you why. There are some truths that you are not allowed to talk about in American Christianity. Some truths. And some of these truths are so deeply embedded in American Christianity that the Bible says if it were possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. And the struggle that I have is I am not a theologian. I got an email yesterday, I got a Facebook. I can't remember, Messenger. from a friend of mine. He's watching the show. I found out he's watching the show, local. And he said, shouldn't we be very, very leery about taking Bible scriptures out of context? Now, hey, dude, that's what I do. I talk about that all the time. In fact, yesterday we read the entire Isaiah 59, read the whole thing. I could have just pulled a verse out. He wasn't being critical, by the way. He wasn't being critical. He was asking a question. And I said, yeah, no kidding. And then he followed it up with this. And it was I thought, good, he's a good guy. I thought this is where most American Christians are. And he said, isn't that why God gave us, how did he phrase it? Isn't that why God gave us those who've been to Bible college to teach us what the Bible means? And I went, boom, there it is. There it is. See, the average Christian, we have become convinced somebody, somewhere, sometime, somewhere along the line, convinced us that we could not understand this thing on our own. That we had to have a priest or a monk or a bishop or a pastor or some great teacher. We had to have John Hagee explain it to us. We needed to have somebody else explain it to us. Now, if that's the way Jesus set the thing up, then most of us ain't got no hope. We ain't got no hope. Yeah.
I'm compelled to give about 1 minute of my testimony. Just a very small, minute picture of it. When I turned my life over to Jesus Christ, and I felt a calling all my life to be a minister or whatever you want to call. Man, I got excited. I went to sleep that night. I woke up the next morning. My plan was to start looking and finding out which local Bible colleges or whatever I could go close to, I could start going to and studying and stuff and get myself prepared to do what I just knew God wanted me to do. And I'm laying there in bed, and before I could put my feet out of the bed and hit the floor, God told me, says, Larry, says, hold it. Says, there's tens of thousands of them preaching what they have been taught my word means. He says, I need a few preaching what it says. Mm. And it was 19 years after that before the Holy Spirit gave me a release to actually go to school and start getting some pieces of paper to satisfy men.
Yes, Larry. And isn't it amazing how many, you look at the bestsellers list, I'm not looking at it. I just would imagine if you go to the bestsellers list, let's go to the Christian bestsellers list, or let's do this. Let's go into your local Christian bookstore, and I'm going to tell you something. They're not selling Bible. They're selling books of men telling you what the Bible says. And if you ever want to come to the knowledge of the truth, boys and girls, you're going to have to read it for yourself. You're going to have to get yourself a personal revelation. Now, I don't mean a personal revelation in the sense that only you have it. I'm not talking about an exclusive revelation, okay? You have to have a personal revelation who Jesus is. Some pastor can't tell you who Jesus is. Jesus, when Jesus is, good Matthew 16, Jared, real quick, because I want to show you this, guys. This is so critical. And while Jared is getting us to Matthew 16, let me explain where I'm heading. We've got to slay some lies. And I believe some of the lies that I want to slay are dangerous. Not dangerous in that my life is in danger, although it could be, but dangerous in that I will be, what do they call them? I will be tearing the legs off their sacred idols. Not because I'm holier than thou or smarter than thou, but by simple fact that I can read. And what's happened to us in America is most Christians, somebody get ready to say amen. Most Christians are not encouraged to read their Bible. They're encouraged to get a book to tell them what the Bible says. There's a good amen.
Amen.
There's a good amen. So when we come along and we simply say, well, look, here's what the Bible, God doesn't love everybody. And you simply pull it out. God does not love everybody. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've loved, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. God hates all workers of iniquity. I mean, it's right there in front of us. And but you try to give that doctrine to somebody, and it's theologically dangerous. And if you have to go to Bible school to learn about the Bible, why are there so many different denominational Bible schools? Why is there the Southern Baptist Convention and the Methodist, what's the one down in the Dallas Theological Seminary? Why are there so many different versions of what's being taught? What is going on? And because we have been programmed that the guy standing in the pulpit has a degree, and now he can explain to us. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. He's explaining to you something that's not true. Many times. Let me just take one instance of truth. Is there a rapture or not? Now you say, well, Coach, that's non-essential doctrine. Okay, but it's essential truth. To me, it's essential truth. There either is or there isn't. How can we have whole denominations built on that theory of, what do they call that? Premillennial dispensationalism. Now, I'm not going to argue about that kind of stuff, but there is a truth that is being taught to many, many, many Christians. But there are a lot of Christians who don't believe in premillennial dispensation. Now, which is it? So again, guys, even in the church, it comes back to a battle over truth. Remember, I've had discussions, theological discussions, that I'm not a theologian. And we'll hear people say at the end of the discussion, are you ready? You sitting down? You ready to raise your hand and say, yeah, I've heard that one before. When at the end of the discussion, these two great Christian theologians say, we'll just have to agree to disagree. Hey, dude, no, I want the truth. And I don't believe the Lord has hidden the truth. I don't believe it's hidden.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Hey, you know, many evangelical Christians that I know, you know, they really dog the Mormons for being a cult because, you know, Joseph Smith, they had these visions in the latter days of, I won't get into all of what they believe. How many Christians are believing people like Cyrus Scofield and John Darby that also were around the time of Brigham Young and Joseph Smith that are believing myths that if you go study what they taught, fathers believe none of it. And yet we're calling Mormons a cult. What are a lot of Christians believing? Are we too not getting sucked into that cult mentality?
George, are you talking about Israel worship? Because I am. I'm not going to get into it right now. Because listen, this is going to, I'm telling you, you think the sparks ain't going to fly? And I'm just going to tell you in my heart what I believe. I believe Israel has become an idol. I believe to many people in the American Christianity, Amen. They idolize Israel and the Jews. And I'm not here to beat up on the Jews. But if I started talking about the Germans did this and the Germans did that, and boy, them Italians did this, I got good grammar. Those Italians did that, and those Polacks, they did that, and I can get away with it. We can make jokes, and we can laugh. You mention the Jews, man, and they will crucify you. You are not allowed to criticize or laugh about or joke about the Jews. As soon as you bring up the Jews, you are anti-Semitic. I ain't swallowing that, okay? I ain't swallowing it. It ain't got nothing to do with none of that. I'm after the truth. And we'll tell you this. Probably get banned on Facebook. I'll tell you this right now. An unsaved Jew is on his way to hell. Just like an unsaved Muslim. And you may not take this seriously. I wasn't going to say it, Lord, but I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say it. Scripture says it has nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. An unsaved Judaism without Jesus Christ is darkness.
Amen.
Does anybody disagree with that?
Right on, Coach.
Amen.
I know, I'm right on. I know. So, I got a lot of places I want to go.
Hey, Coach. A year ago, I would have turned you off if you would have said something like that.
maybe a yeah. little bit more than a year ago. I would have, I was suckered right into all that garbage. And yep. because of the help of you and Rick Wiles, it's just opened my eyes.
It's funny you'd say that, Serge. I got a tape of Rick Wiles. I'm going to, this dude's going all in.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Wiles is going on. I don't know if we'll get to it today. He's going all in.
It's amazing what he's been saying on TCT. Unbelievable. He's been hammering the Jews like crazy. And it just really finally woke me up.
Yeah. I'm not trying to. Let's pull back here a second. I wanted to lay a better foundation. It's okay. Not about the Jews. Not about the Jews. About truth. About truth. And it's this whole idea of Judeo-Christian. Judeo-Christian. Fellas, please, I understand the roots of our faith. I understand that. Guys, Jews don't believe in Jesus. Is that a pretty big dividing line? I think it's a pretty big dividing line. Larry, am I anti-Semitic? Am I sounding anti-Semitic, like I hate Jews? I don't hate Jews. Why would I hate Jews? I don't hate blacks. See, it's just the same game, isn't it? And when you begin to criticize a certain group of people, you hate them. Well, I love truth. I love truth. And it would be my heart that every Jew everywhere would get saved. And every Muslim everywhere would get saved. But the reality of it is that's not the world of me. Okay?
You know, it's the same thing when I say that the Bible explicitly divides and zeroes in on who we are to love as brothers and sisters in Christ. When the Bible just so clearly defines who we're supposed to love, everybody, when they hear that, not everybody, but most people, when they hear that, they think I'm saying we have to hate everyone else. And I never use it. I never couch it in those terms. I don't mean it in those terms. But they have been drilled to think that there's only love and hate. There is a verse in the Bible, and I can take you to it if you want me to, but there's a verse in the Bible that divides everybody on the face of the earth into four groups, and it tells you how to treat each group. And hate is not one of them.
Well, I would go there right now, but I don't want to lose the track I'm running down, Larry, if you can bear with me a second, because I said something about Matthew 16, didn't I? The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Are you there, Jared? Let me try to. Hey, fellas, this isn't what I've got written down for this morning, but I tell you, I just follow the. I just follow.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Can I give you a particular hypothetical with regards to Israel? There's only three powers of, or three tenets of power in international relations. It's economic, political, and military. So here's a hypothetical. What if the Rothschilds did in fact have their tenets in the creation of Israel? That's number one. Number two, what if Netanyahu has his tentacles through blackmail from multiple people in our own government who are pro-Israel? Number three, Trump's decision to make Israel and recognize it as a capital, who gains, who loses? Number four, if Netanyahu is part of a cabal to continue to spurn on world's wars all over the place because they want to continue to rape the citizenry and continue to support the military-industrial complex worldwide,
Swamp.
What better way to put pressure on Netanyahu to say, number one, Trump to Netanyahu, one, I got your number. Number two, you're not going to go attack Iran. And number three, we're taking down all your shills who have been supporting you and doing what they've been doing in this pro-Israel caucus in our own government.
Mm. Sorry, see, it's getting something really, really deep. I hear the anti-Semitism charge already. And it ain't about any of that. It isn't about it. Here, just bear with me here a second. I want you to know right now what I could do without the Holy Spirit. If I did not have the Holy Spirit of God, I cannot tell you how vulnerable I would be to temptation. I'm vulnerable as it is, right? But let's just pretend that I got elected to Congress, which I ran for in 2010, and I wasn't saved, and I didn't have the Holy Spirit. And the next thing you know, I'm being wined and dined with broads and booze and briberies, and being offered to be a part of this club and being part of this committee chairman, and I don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Do you have any idea the depth of evil they could drag me down? What do you think they didn't want Judge Moore? Because they're smart enough to understand that the Holy Spirit is a restraining. It's a restrainer. The Holy Spirit will not allow an honest man to lie in his official duties. Not going to allow it. A whole man filled with the Holy Spirit ain't going to sell out politics. Ain't going to do it.
Amen.
So Matthew 16, again, you guys know any scumbags in office? Now, we know this, that the seminaries were infiltrated. We know this. And the seminaries just weren't infiltrated with young men coming to learn. They didn't just send unsaved men to seminary, although that certainly took place. But they sent unsaved men to be the educators. It was done on purpose. They sent unsaved men into positions of authority in the seminaries to teach things that were not true. Guys, can't you see this? Can't you understand how the enemy would operate? That the battle is over truth, and he's doing everything he can to destroy the truth. And for the most part, most people who claim Christ never, ever spend any time in this thing here and couldn't for the life of you defend their faith except for what the 6-foot icicle told them. Somebody say amen for me. It wasn't hard, fellas. It wasn't hard to overthrow it. It wasn't hard. And so we look out and we have a boat full of people sitting in church and they're not Christians. Why? Because they haven't been taught how to be Christians. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, communism, which is a godless philosophy, they recognized early on that it was through education that you overcome a people's mindset and capture a people. Don't you think that Satan was smart enough to figure out the same thing applied to, quote, the church world? Get in their education system and screw it all up?
Yeah, at the seminaries? Huh? Come on! Come on! And so what happens then is I end up getting a Facebook comment from a friend who wants to know, don't we need the guy from the seminary to tell us what the Bible says? Where do you come up with that? I'm in Matthew 16. This is good. We need this so much. Matthew 16. Jared, go clear down to 13. I just want to read. Jared, how do you read this? But I'm going to read this quickly. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say, there you are. Some say you're John the Baptist. And some say you're Elijah. And some say you're Jeremiah. And everywhere you go, everybody's saying something about you. They're all saying something different. Where Democrats are, I'm sorry, the Presbyterians are saying this, and the Baptists are saying this, and the Lutherans are saying this, and the Church of Godders are saying this. And get the point? Some says. Jesus said unto them, hey, dude, shut up. Don't listen to them dudes. Who do you say I am? But he says, I'm just kind of interjecting a little bit of play acting into it. But quit listening to them guys. Who do you say I am? Don't be swayed by what them some says. Then Simon said, well, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. Don't miss this. And Jesus said unto him, wow. Simon, verse 17, Jared. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Wow. Why? The flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. See, fellas, there are some truths you're only going to get from the Lord. You ain't going to get it from the somesayers. They ain't going to be able to tell you because they don't know. They only know what they've been taught in cemetery. My wife and I took my wife out We went to Zanesville, Ohio last night. She wanted to go shopping at a place down. We went down there. And she went into Penny's or someplace. I can't remember where it was. And I said, hey, I'm just going to sit out here in the car. Cold. I'm just sitting out. I didn't want to go do any more shopping. And I'm sitting there, and I have a Christian radio station on. And I heard the last 15 minutes of one preacher and the first 15 minutes of another preacher. And I was grieved in my spirit what I heard. So that's a battle for truth. Truth is right here in front of me. And that's why I was talking yesterday about the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation, the connection of those two things, the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation. If you don't have your think about this, the belt. This is why most men won't stand up. Because the belt's what holds your pants up. And the last thing a guy wants to do is stand up in a crowd and be exposed, have his pants fall down. And so the average guy isn't going to stand up and speak up because he don't know if he's got the belt on. He don't know if he's got the truth or not. Because he doesn't know if he has the truth or not. He just sits there and sits on his butt, keeps his legs pinched together so that nothing gets exposed. And if we stand on truth, we will not lose. And if we stand on lies, we will not win. And the church has tried to be in the middle of those two things, a little bit of truth and a little bit of lie, and thinking that somehow that was going to win the day.
And it ain't gonna Coach.
Yeah, go, George.
Coach, you know what? I believe for the most part, I've been taught by men from the pulpit that have never studied the root of the truth. And just a quick example. Man. Everything bad in our society originated in Babylon. So you have to study the roots of Babylon, Nimrod, all that, okay? But to make it real simple, as far as when the southern kingdom, when Judah was taken captive and they were taken into Babylon, that's where Judaism was created, which was the Babylonian religion. Everything we're seeing today with the Jews, because Jesus was a Hebrew, okay?
Yeah, let's take the name Jew off of it. Let's put another name so they don't call us names. Let's call them whatever. Go ahead, George.
Yeah. All right. So it's important to understand that the Jewish religion has its roots. Hebrewism, if we really want to be more accurate, we'd say we're a Christian Hebraic society, because Hebrew and Christianity, we believe in one God. We believe in a monotheistic system. And so to make it simple, folks, start studying when the southern tribe, when Judah was taken into captivity in Babylon, you'll start understanding what the Jewish religion is all about. Semitic, I'm sorry, it's the truth.
It's just truth. It's just truth. Guys, it's like this. I run into people all the time and they talk about, well, Coach, there's a separation between the church and state. And I said, the hell are you talking about? Well, it is. There's a separation between the church and state. It's right there in the Constitution. It is. Could you show it to me? Well, of course they can't. Why? Because it ain't. And do you think it's any different with the Bible? Some guy's been standing up here telling you something. You've been going to that church for 40 years. And after 40 years, he's still telling you the same stuff he told you 40 years ago. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But he's lying, because sometimes that ain't the only thing the Bible says. And we get trapped in our denominational theology. And as a result, the entire American foreign policy is centered and based around Israel. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. And why are they able to base it around Israel? Because 90% of Christianity, American Christianity, thinks that's what it's supposed to be, because that's what they've been told. Am I making sense?
Oh, yeah.
Am I turning me off yet? Because they're going to call me racist, and they're going to call me what is that? What is that word? Anti-Semitic. Semitic. Jared, let's do that again. Look up Semitic or Semite. America, better hear me. We ain't Judeo-Christian. We ain't Judeo-Christian. We're not Judeo-Christian. We're Christian. It's like being African-American. You're an African or you're an American. You're either Jew or you're a Christian. There ain't no Judeo-Christian. Jews without Christ aren't saved. I'm a German-American, I guess. Jared, look up Semitic. Take anti. Okay, we can stay right there. Wait a minute. Stay right there a second. Anti-Semitic is relating to or characterized by anti-Semitism, feeling or showing hostility toward or discrimination against Jews. Made up word, anti-Semitic. Don't prove it here. Jared, let's go back to Semitic. Take anti out. Let's put Semitic. What's Semitic? Of, relating to, or constituting a subfamily of Afro-Asiatic language family that includes Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, and Amharic. There's nothing about Jews in that. There's no Jews in there. Does anybody see? Do you guys see this? Do you see this? Do you see another made-up word? Another made-up word?
Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, you know what's so comical? The Palestinians, whom are being totally dogged, they have more Shem. With the word Semite comes from Shem.
Shem, right?
Okay. Okay, one of Abraham's sons, and way more Semite blood than these so-called Jews, who have almost no Semite blood.
Well, George, you're anti-Semitic. You're anti-Semitic.
No,
you're not.
Guilty as charged.
So you look at the definition of a Semitic, and it says what? Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, and Amharic. And then just down at the end, number three, they stick in Jewish. But now you go to anti-Semitic. Go there again, Jared, to that made-up word, anti-Semitic. And what is it? Feeling or showing hostility towards a discrimination against Jews. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. Boys, we've been told a lie. Though, listen, anyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no male, there is no female. I think I'm quoting that right. There are no distinctions, Paul said. Ain't nobody. Anybody, nobody has a better head start to heaven than somebody else. There are no separations. Nope. God is not a respecter of persons. Are you following the logic here? So guys, if you have not received and acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, Lord and Savior, not just Savior, not just walk an aisle and say a prayer. If you have not just been born into a Christian family, if you have not personally made a commitment, an exchange of your dead life for life in Christ, if you haven't done that, I don't care if you're a German, I don't care if you're a Muslim, I don't care if you're an Arab, I don't care if you're an African, I don't care what you are. If you have not done that, you are not a member of the family of God. You are not, according to Christian teachings. Now, we're going to have to decide, are we going to follow Christian teachings or Judeo teaching? Because I'm going to tell you, they're not the same, guys. They are not the same. But we've been convinced that they have. Why? Because of the idea of dispensationalism that's come through Darby and all that kind of stuff. And I ain't even talking about the rapture. Let's just keep the rapture out of the picture. I don't even care about that. But the idea of the end of the age and how this thing's coming down, Americans believe dispensationalism. You think I'm crazy? Okay, Jared, show them this video that I got up there. It says stuff. You want to see some propaganda? Can I show you a little bit of propaganda here? Where did I not send that to you? Lord, tell me I sent that to him. I didn't send it. Jared, I was bragging about myself. I was going to do it, and I don't think I sent it to you. Yeah, I don't want to show that one yet because it's the same thing. Rick Wiles, God bless Rick Wiles. Rick Wiles is taking this stuff on. And I wasn't going to do this. When I first got saved, World Harvest Church, Pastor Rob Parsons, January 1988, when my faith became real to me, when I exchanged my old dead self for the life in Christ. It wasn't 2 weeks till I was introduced to Israel. Did you hear what I just said? It wasn't 2 weeks till I started learning about how important Israel was. Ahead of anything else. And I watch all the rage going on in America right now for Israel, 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 Israel. And we're murdering babies. We're murdering babies. The church couldn't care less. We're worried about Israel. And they're destroying marriage. And we're worried about Israel. The men are hooked on pornography. We're worried about Israel. Is somebody with me here? Anybody with me here?
Hey, Coach.
Somebody has pulled a fast one on us. Jared, go to Matthew chapter 3. You guys are quiet. You mad at me?
Hey, Coach.
Because I was here before you showed up, and I'll be here when you're not.
Truth hits, Coach. Truth hits.
Yeah, Jared.
Well, you say all the time you serve the God you see, and right. where do all our blessings come from? The banking system. Who owns the banking system? Jews.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. Now you're anti-Semitic. You say, yeah, but Coach, I can prove it. Just look at it. Just look at it. Yeah, but you're anti-Semitic, even pointing out. How about this? Am I racist because I point out 80% of the NBA is black? Huh? I'm watching the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, and I'm shocked when I see a white guy. It's all black. Am I racist because I see what's right before me? Am I racist because I acknowledge the fact that most of the people at Goldman Sachs and all, most of them are not Christians? Am I not allowed to notice that? And I'm not allowed to say something about that? See, you have been conditioned that you're not allowed to talk about that. Because why? Well, they're God's chosen people. No, I am. I'm God's chosen person. So are you.
Amen.
You're God's chosen person. There's no distinctions. Nobody's better than anybody else. And the whole religious system wants to teach you the same thing. The guy in the pulpit's more religious than you, more chosen than you, more important than you. The elders, they're higher and more important. They get the big seats up on the stage. They get all the honor. No! I wasn't going to do this. Go ahead, George.
Hey, but you know what? If you set people free, you can't control them. They would lose control.
You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Will set you free. See, there's a real cataclysm coming because there's a certain group of people that can't control that cryptocurrency. Huh? Guys, please don't hear what I'm not saying. Listen to me. I don't care whether they're Jewish. I don't care if they're Lutheran. I don't care if they're Baptist. I don't care if they're Presbyterian. If they are not saved and washed clean by the blood of Jesus and not filled it with the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot trust them. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you started off early on this program. You mentioned that there's a lot of those that think that they're born again, but they're not. And that one verse that you used just a couple of minutes ago is one of the main verses that people have been misled on. And that's the one, Acts 2:21, where it says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I read the whole verse. The church teaches, preaches, and everybody quotes the last part of that verse. And actually, that's what you did too. You said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the part of the verse that the lie is in. Because the whole verse, and you got to go all the way from verse 17 through verse 36 to get the whole answer that Peter was giving right there. The whole concept of what he was saying is in that whole block of scripture, not just this one verse. But it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I mean, that's not happening right now when Peter was talking. Peter didn't call on the Lord right now. That ain't what it's about. What I'm talking about here, what I just answered you, what the rest of my answer is, when that happens, then those that call on the Lord shall be saved. And it puts a whole new picture to that verse.
Larry, you need to go to seminary and get straightened out. You can't keep coming up with this wild-eyed stuff. Listen, would they call me anti-Muslim if I acknowledged that Saudi Arabia was controlled by Muslims? Is that anti-Muslim? Would I be anti-Muslim if I said what's going on in Iran right now is an attempt to overthrow the Muslim control? Is that anti-Muslim? Am I allowed to say that? Would I be on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate page if I said that? What if I were to say, "Oh my goodness, the Vatican is controlled by Catholics. The Catholics are in control of the Vatican." Would I be on the Southern Poverty Law Center hate page? Oh, but I've said, "Oh, Hollywood's controlled by the Jews." Oh! Can't you see it? Can't you see? So, Jared, go back to verse 1. Because here's what it's about, and this is what we're missing. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.'" That's what I was talking about yesterday. Verse chapter 4, Jared. Next verse. Next chapter. Chapter 4. Then Jesus led to the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had hungered, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he's afterward hungered. And when tempted came, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, going down farther, Jared. Going down to about 10, maybe it is. There it is. After he beats down the devil. I messed up, maybe. There it is, verse 17. "After all the temptation and everything from that time, Jesus began to preach. He said, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" There it is, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Are you ready for a shocker, boys? You ready? There may have been a time when the Jews were God's chosen people. There may have been a time. I mean, I'm not a scholar. Hebrews would probably be more appropriate. In fact, use the term appropriate term. I'm going to tell you, somewhere along the line, they went from being a race of people or religion. Judaism is a religion. You can convert to Judaism. You understand that? You can convert to Judaism. I don't know why John Hagee has it yet, to be honest with you. Open your eyes. Quit believe. Just search the scriptures daily. Be a Berean Christian. Search the scriptures daily to see if what they're telling you is the truth. And I would say a lot of what they're telling us isn't the truth. I feel like I'm boxing myself in here. Please, somebody throw me a lifeline. Help! Help!
Well, Coach.
Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Go ahead.
There was somewhere along the line. It might have been sometime around where they killed Jesus. That might have been somewhere along the line where they might have lost their chosenness.
Yeah, but man,
absolutely.
Well, he cursed him, didn't he? Didn't he curse him? And see, listen, Lord, do you understand the risk I'm running? Do you understand? Right wing watch.
Hey, coach.
They're going to be after me because why? Because they're supported. They're supported by that religion too. Yeah, George.
Hey, coach.
Yep.
Hey, I sincerely thank you for taking this on. I'm telling you, when I started learning about this a few years ago from Charles Jennings, started learning about it from 2 years ago, it set me free. So right wing watch, you do whatever you want with it. But you know what, right wing watch, you'd be better off learning the truth too, because one day you're going to face the truth. You're going to face your creator, and these lies are going to be destroyed. So you might as well get rid of these lies now. But anyway, thank you, coach, for taking this on, because I know this is a hot topic.
It is, George. It's the most dangerous one you can take on. It's the most dangerous one you can take on. Jared, do me a favor. Go to Galatians 3. Go to Galatians 3. Are y'all still with me? Let's see. We still got a good full house. So they haven't laid. There's some of you guys. Some of you guys are giving me some encouragement there. Thanks, man. Thanks.
We're here.
Touching those. Huh? Goring those ox. I'm goring some ox this morning. You believe what you want to. I've decided I'm going to put on my helmet. And I'm going to put on my belt, and I'm going to believe the truth. That's what I decided. You believe whatever you want to. You're not going to pull me into that malarkey. Okay, hang on. Hey, Joe, I'm going to have you read it, except I'm going to read fast, because I got someplace I'm heading, okay? Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Christians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, but before whose eyes Jesus has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive you. Did you get the Spirit by works or of the law? Did you hear it by hearing or of faith? Are you so foolish that you began in the Spirit, now you're back into the flesh? That the Jews were called, that you were, salvation came, and you want to go back to religion? He's saying, he therefore that minister to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or does he do it by faith? Even as Abraham believed God and has accounted him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. There, who are the children of Abraham? It's right there. They are the children of Abraham. Who are they? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, they are the children of Abraham. Oh, boy, 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 boy. Go to 28. I could go down through. I'm getting on a rant I'd never get off of. Go to 28, Jared. Okay, hang on. Oh, I just don't need it. Right there to stop. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The purpose of the law would is show you we're a sinner. The purpose of the law brings you to Christ. That's why you must that's why we must preach more law than grace. When you know you are a sinner, you'll want grace. When you know you are sick, you will want the cure. We want to preach the cure without the disease. We want them to take chemotherapy, and they've never been diagnosed with cancer. We've got to tell them they are sick and dying. Then they'll automatically want it. Church has got it just backwards. Hang on. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the law, boys and girls. Try it again there. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. What is the law? It's a schoolmaster. What's it say in verse 25? But after that faith comes, we no longer under the law. We're no longer under that schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Would it be fair to say if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you're not a child? Would it be safe to say that? Oh, they're gnashing their teeth right now. I'm telling you, they're gnashing their teeth. Some of them are tuning out right now because they don't want to believe this, because that's not what Pastor Fatso said. They don't want to believe it. This is a lie. Somebody changed it. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. What if you haven't been baptized in Christ? What if you are Jewish and have never received Christ? Boys, I don't know how Paul can make it any clearer than this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. You either believe it or you don't believe that.
Amen, Coach.
And if you're Christ, look at this. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And
kind of relates to what we did, discerning the body of Christ.
Amen, Larry. Amen. And so we're over there fighting for that piece of land. We're dying for that piece of land over there. That, by the way, who created the nation of Israel? Anybody know who created the nation of Israel? 1948? Well, roundabout, United Nations. United Nations. They created it.
Balfour Declaration.
Balfour Declaration. Did you know there was no Pakistan? There was no such thing as Pakistan. Did you know Pakistan's a made-up place? It was all part of that same deal. Now you say, oh, yeah, but Coach, what a miracle it would be that only God could create this new nation. And so ever since 1948, American evangelicalism has focused. They have made an idol out of that land. I'm sorry. God's promise to Israel is God's promise. It's not America. God's promise. I'm going to shut up before I go get me in more trouble. Somebody help me. Somebody rescue me. We love you, Coach. We love you, Coach. Love you, Coach.
You know what, Coach?
Hey. Yeah.
One of the first things that I learned when I came to, probably the second pastor that came into my life in around 2011 was to respect all of those other religions and denominations, and even the ones that were so far apart from Christ that it was, you know, but that's what's taught in the church. You're taught to respect, and you're taught this is what you are as a Christian. But, I mean, it just takes the word. That's all it takes. It takes the word to know that that's just not true. You don't have to you don't respect something that is an enemy of the Lord.
This is simple, isn't it, David? Hey, listen, okay, you ready? Now I'm going to, okay. All right. You ready? Praying to Mary is blasphemous. That's blasphemous.
Amen, Coach.
Where would anybody ever find that?
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about the sincerity of people who do it. We'll go to the abortion clinic and the women are there praying the rosary. I'm not making fun of them. They've been taught something that isn't true. There's one mediator between the man and God. One mediator. It isn't Mary. It isn't the saint. It's not Saint Christopher and Saint Anthony and Saint Bartholomew. It ain't them. They're not the mediators. There's one mediator. The curtain's been torn. I can go into the Holy of Holies. I have pathway to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords through his son, not through Judaism, not through Catholicism.
Amen.
This is so true. It's so true. How many churches do you think they'd let me stand up in the pulpit and say this at? Because we worship Israel. And why do we worship Israel? We worship Israel because the rapture's coming. There's proof. Israel's back. We're about out of here. Yes or no? Oh, they hate me today.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Coach.
I just want you to think. You don't have to believe. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to.
Sounds like hate.
Hey, Ray, if all the Catholics controlled Hollywood, would I be anti-Semitic if I said, you know what, man, those Catholics, they control Hollywood. If all the Methodists controlled the banks, would I say, man, those Methodists, look, man, they control all the money. What? Yeah, those Methodists, they started the Federal Reserve, and yeah, those Methodists are behind all that stuff. Are you kidding me? The Methodists are, yeah. Would I be anti-Semitic? Because would I? What would I be? But if I say, boy, the Jews are running all the banks. Oh, you anti-Semite. You see? Ridicule Saul Alinsky. You see?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, as I've been studying about the Pilgrims, well, I tell you, there's some good studying right there. You know, they clearly believed as a people that they were coming over to establish the new Israel. Question is this, if we're not Israel, extension of Israel, America, then why didn't the Pilgrims sail to that little piece of land that's Israel right now?
Right. See,
it's so much deeper. People have to study. You got to study to understand this stuff, and anyone can do it.
I got a question.
Yep.
Aren't people that believe in Jesus Christ Israel?
Well, see, that's the debate. See, they call that replacement theology. So now we have to have a theological discussion over it. When what did Abraham say? If you receive Jesus, you're Abraham's seed. He just says it right there. How can we argue with that? I'm looking for some. Here it is. Here it is. Jared, this is the thing I was going to show you earlier, and I forgot to do it. Hang on a minute. We're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's seed. We are. Just says it right there. You've been adopted into the family. You're Abraham's seed. Jared, this is only 2 minutes. I'm going to send it to you because I want to show you how deeply embedded this propaganda is. I'm going to speak an abomination. You ready? I love America more than Israel. I get you hung someplace. Okay, here we go. Here's some CBN propaganda. Go ahead, Jared.
Have you ever wondered what's the big deal about Israel?
What's the big deal about Israel?
What's the big deal about Israel? Why is this tiny country always in the news? And why do other countries want to wipe it off the map?
Or maybe you've asked,
why have the Jews been so mistreated throughout history?
Even today, why is anti-Semitism growing around the world?
Or how about this?
Why should we care?
To answer those questions, let's go back to the beginning.
God's entire plan of redemption began with the covenant.
A promise to one man, Abraham, through his son, Isaac, and his son, Jacob, a.k.a. Israel.
The promise included a specific piece of land, and the promise is everlasting. God always keeps his promises.
Over 400 years later, God made another covenant, this time with Moses. If Israel followed God's law, they could take possession of and permanently occupy the promised land.
Even in our day, we've seen something no one thought was possible. In 1948, the Jewish people reestablished the nation of Israel.
No, the Jewish people didn't.
His promises.
And he made another one, a third covenant, with King David. God said that David's kingdom would be established forever through the coming Messiah. We know that future king to be Jesus. That's why Matthew called him Son of David.
There's coming a day when his promises to Abraham and David will be fulfilled together. This is made possible because of the new covenant.
This new promise was sealed with the blood of Christ Jesus. One day, Jesus will reign from Jerusalem. Isaiah said this new kingdom would be the center of global rule. And Paul said when Jesus returns, all Israel will be saved. God always keeps his promises. So, if you want to know the answers to those questions, God made a promise, and the enemy has done and will do everything in his power to destroy Israel and her people. That's why, as Christians, we need to stand in solidarity with Israel.
We need to love the Jewish people,
and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
There you are. 90% of the American church would stand up and applaud when that thing's over, and it's filled with propaganda. It's filled with propaganda. All right, I'll sleep better tonight. because I got some of that stuff off of my chest. Fellas, there is so much that we believe that just is not true. We believe it through tradition. Jesus said himself, he teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none. Coming right out before us. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-black. I'm not anti-white. I'm not anti-gray. I'm not anti-Baptist. I'm not anti-Methodist. I'm pro-truth. I'm pro-truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. Do me a favor. Those of you who got your dander up a little bit this morning, prove me wrong. Do some research. Watch some videos. Let the scales fall off of your eyes. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.